Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus says in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. These are incredible words that Jesus speaks. Can you imagine for a moment that Jesus is speaking these words at an auditorium at Western Oregon University? Or imagine for a moment that Jesus is on a late night talk show and all of a sudden he says those words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I could just hear the host of that show saying, Jesus, don't you mean that you're going to show the way or show a way? Jesus, and what's that part about there's no other way to the Father except through you? That seems a bit exclusivistic, Jesus. Are you sure you didn't mean something different? Make no mistake about it, Jesus says some difficult words in some respects and some beautiful words at the very same time when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But in a day when the absolute is that there are no absolutes, that's a very offensive thing for Jesus to say. I'm offended, Jesus, that you would claim to be the only way. And in our world where we have a lot of this attitude, the claims of Jesus can be very, very offensive. Now, I'm sure we've all seen the coexist bumper stickers. And on the one hand, to coexist, according to Merriam-Webster, is to exist together or at the same time, to live in peace with each other, especially as a matter of policy. Now, I have nothing wrong with people not killing each other over religion. That's a great idea. I think there should be some peace, right? But sadly, what happens is when the coexist bumper stickers are put on the cars, sometimes they basically are saying, look, it really doesn't matter that much what you believe as long as you're sincere about it. You know, because in some ways, all religions are basically the same. But you see, that's not the truth. All religions are not basically the same. In fact, they are in some ways fundamentally different. And there's not time to go into all those details as to why or how. But religions are fundamentally different. And there's a claim being made, an exclusive claim being made when Jesus says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And truth can be offensive. Ravi Zacharias, who some of you might have heard about, he's an apologist, one who's a defender of the faith. Ravi Zacharias said these words about truth. He said, if truth does not exclude, then no assertion of a truth claim is being made. It's just an opinion that's being stated. Anytime you make a truth claim, you mean something contrary to it is false. Truth excludes its opposite. Now, I don't believe he's talking about paradoxes where you have one thing held in tension with another. No, what he's saying is when something is true, that means that something else will be false. Because if Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, if no one comes to the Father except through him, then that means he is the only way. That means that the other religions are wrong and false. Well, that's offensive, isn't it? Well, perhaps it is offensive unless we realize and we take into account who is speaking those words. Because if Jesus is just a good prophet, as some people claim, then absolutely those words are offensive. But if Jesus is who he says he is, then we take those words seriously. Some of you are familiar with C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis talked about the claims of Christ, the words of Christ, those exclusive things that he said. And he said that there are three options when it comes to who Jesus is. Either Jesus is a liar, or he's a lunatic, or he is the Lord. Perhaps Jesus was lying. Perhaps he was just making up a bunch of this stuff about him being the way, the truth, and the life. Well, in that case, Jesus would not be a good prophet, because a good prophet does not lie. It's possible that Jesus was a lunatic, meaning that he believed that he was the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. Perhaps he was just crazy. Well, if Jesus was crazy, then he wouldn't be a very good prophet, would he? No. Or perhaps Jesus is who he says he is, and that is the Lord. C.S. Lewis says, a man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He'd either be a lunatic on a level with a man who says he's a poached egg, or else he'd be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. And if we look at the scriptures, what do the scriptures say about Jesus? Acts chapter 4:12 says, "And there is no salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 says, "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ." Ultimately, if Jesus is who he says he is, the very Son of God, then we take his words at face value, and they are to be taken seriously. For apart from Jesus Christ, we cannot be shown the Father. For Jesus says, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." And there we get into the mystery of the Trinity within that verse of the God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But Jesus is divine, and he says those words, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Maybe if you're like me, you have found those words to be troubling sometimes. I'll be completely honest with you. I think sometimes those words can be rather troubling because of the implications. The implication is that those apart from Jesus Christ will not be with the Lord. And that's a scary thing, isn't it? It has some sobering words for us in various parts of the scriptures about those who have rejected the truth. It says in Revelation 21, verse 8, "But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur," which is the second death. Matthew 13:49 says, "The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9 says, "They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might." God, that seems so unfair. How could a good God allow this to happen? I've wrestled with that a lot. And maybe you have as well. So what do we do with this whole thing? What do we do with this exclusive claim of Jesus Christ? Well, first of all, let's wrestle with who God is and what has happened in this world. If you look at the scriptures, you will see that God is a perfect and holy God. Perfect and holy. And if you look at the human race, it says in the scriptures, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." No one is righteous, and not even one. In fact, the truth is that every single one of us deserves hell, deserves to be separated from God for those sins committed in thought, word, and deed. Well, but God, why is this the way it is? In the end, we don't have all the answers, but as we were talking about in Bible study, the truth of the matter is that God did not make robots when he created the world. He created people, and the people that were created chose to turn away from God. Why would God allow for this? Well, let me ask you this question. With your cell phone, I think a lot of us have cell phones, or maybe as a kid you played with your radio-controlled vehicles or your robotic devices. Let me ask you this question. Did your electronic device ever love you? Was it ever capable of loving you? I'll bet you $10,000 that your electronic device will never be able to love you. Why? Because it's programmed. But the Lord made people because he wanted people who had the capacity to love. And when there is love involved, there is a risk of hurt and pain. When you love someone, there is the risk that they will turn and reject your love. And so we see that there are people that have rejected God's love. Acts chapter 7, verse 51, our first reading for today says, "You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you." Ravi Zacharias, the apologist, says these words: what is the most heinous, the worst thing that a person can do in his life? It's not to murder, but rather to mock and dishonor the person that we owe absolutely everything to, which is our Creator, God Himself. For someone to say, I couldn't care less about your values or your son's death for me, I'm going to ignore all of that. That is the ultimate sin. C.S. Lewis says, there are only two kinds of people in the end: those who say to God, thy will be done, and those to whom God says in the end, thy will be done, and all that are in hell choose it. Think about this. If someone rejects God, why would they want to spend eternity with the one that they hate and reject? So God says, okay, have your way. It's sobering, isn't it? And there's no way around it. It's scary and uncomfortable, and there's a lot of mysteries that we still don't understand. But that is the truth that we see. Well, what about those that maybe haven't heard the gospel? Well, God has revealed himself to people, as it says in Romans chapter 1, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived even since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. Truth is, God has revealed himself in creation. There's a sense of morality that we have within our conscience and ultimately through the word, and ultimately those that reject the good news of Jesus Christ will not be with him. We say, well, but God, and we could fill in that phrase with all kinds of objections. But we must remember this. I need to remember this, that ultimately God is more fair than you and me. Again, Ravi Zacharias was pointing this out. God is more fair than you and me. I, in my tiny little brain, can only perceive a tiny, tiny part of the entire vastness of this universe. And from my perspective, something might not appear fair or right, but I am a tiny, puny little human. I know nothing, and you know nothing in comparison to what God knows. So in the end, shall we not trust that the judge of the earth will do what is right? I'm really glad that the fate of the people of this world are not in my hands or in your hands, but rather that the fate of the world is in the hands of God, who knows everything, who is all-knowing. And from the scriptures, we know that this all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-holy God is also one who loves and who cares for the world. And we see that clearly in the scriptures, as spoken in Romans 6, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. 2 Peter 3:9 says these words: the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. And those words that Jesus spoke from John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Where did he speak these words? He spoke these words when he was in the upper room, as he was there with the disciples, giving the new covenant in his blood, as he was preparing to go to the cross for the sins of the world, for you and for me. That is the context of those words that Jesus is speaking, revealing his incredible love for you, telling that he's going to prepare a place for you, speaking of his grace and his mercy. And the beautiful thing is that God gives you the gift of faith to believe, giving you the gift to believe those words that Jesus died for me, Jesus rose for me, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. See, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And this is good news. This is amazing news. When people are wondering about all the directions in life, Jesus is the way. John chapter 10, verse 9, from our reading last week, the Good Shepherd reading, Jesus says these words, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Jesus, as the way, is the one who brings goodness, who brings truth, and brings life. As it says, Jesus is the truth. I am the way and I am the truth. Remember when Jesus was there before Pontius Pilate? Pilate asked the question, "What is truth?" As Jesus, the truth itself, was there in his presence, getting ready to sacrifice himself even for Pilate. Jesus is the truth. John 8:31 says, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Jesus is the one who reveals the Father to you and me. Jesus is the one who reveals the good news to you and me. And Jesus is also the life. Jesus says, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." And we see that clearly in the scriptures. If we look back to John chapter 11, Jesus says to the weeping sisters, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And then he raised Lazarus from the dead. Jesus is the life, and he's the one, as it says in John 14, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, and where I am, you may be also." Life, eternal life, and even life now, life in his name, with the privilege in that life of calling upon God with any and every petition. John 14 says, "Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." And in that prayer, we can ask, "Lord, please be with my neighbors who don't know you. I pray that they would come to see the truth of the gospel. Lord, give me the courage and the boldness to share the message of the way, the truth, and the life with them." The way, the truth, and the life is the one who changes hearts and lives. I've been talking a bit about Ravi Zacharias, but I've been impressed by this man, and his story is pretty amazing. You see, Ravi Zacharias grew up in India, and he grew up in a society where education was very important, and to be smart was valued. And if you were smart, that was good, and if you weren't, it wasn't. So Ravi Zacharias was in a very high-pressure society. And in addition to that, he had a father who was very demanding, a father who would actually physically punish him when he wasn't behaving, wasn't doing well up to the standards that he was supposed to. Ravi came to a point in his life as a teenager when he realized in his mind the meaninglessness of this world. He became discouraged. And he looked around at the world and he thought, "Man, what is the meaning in this life?" And so Ravi went over to his school's science lab, where he took a bunch of chemicals from the school's science lab and he mixed them together into a concoction, and he drank that concoction, fell on his knees, and waited to die. And he would have, in fact, died if somebody had not found him and rushed him to the hospital where the poisons were removed from his body. And there Ravi lay in his bed, so weak that he could barely lift his arms. He could barely hold on to anything. And somebody came into his hospital room with a Bible and began speaking to him from John chapter 14. And in John chapter 14, he heard those words of Jesus, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life." And as they kept reading through John 14, they got through a verse that especially stuck in his mind. John chapter 14, verse 19, where Jesus says these words, "Because I live, you also will live." The Holy Spirit was at work in Ravi's heart and life, and he then prayed, "Jesus, I don't know much about who you are, But you are telling me you're the author of true life. If you take me out of this hospital room, I will leave no stone unturned in my pursuit of truth." 5 days later, Ravi was able to get out of the hospital, and he began that inquiry into truth. And long story short, Ravi has devoted himself to the Lord in gratitude for what the Lord has done, speaking in probably 50 countries, in multiple universities, speaking to many, many different groups of people about the truth of the gospel, proclaiming the truth of Jesus Christ. And Ravi Zacharias said these words, which I found amazing. He said, "I have traveled the world. I have searched high and low. I have found nothing that satisfies my mind, my heart, and the deepest longings of my soul like Jesus does. He is not only the way, the truth, and the life. He is personal to me. He is my way, my truth, and my life. And by the faith that God has given to you and me, may we also say that of Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.